Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is number 15, called Practical Advice, on the Intercession, the Catalyst for Revival series. And some of you that are sitting here probably, you're part of our intercession group, so it may not be as interesting as you, but we do to you. But we get a lot of calls of how can I organize an intercession in my church. And so since this tape is being made to help build up the body of Christ and to give some practical advice, would be of great importance. Now, I want us to, first of all, in the practical advice, in selecting your leaders, this is the question that is quite often posed to me. How will I select the person that is to lead our intercession group and to organize it? My first advice would be, find someone that is mature in the Lord. Find someone that is mature in the Lord. Hopefully mature in intercession. Find someone that is walking in unconditional love and the fruit of the Spirit. Find someone that you trust. Because this is a very, very important part of your church. It's going to be a foundation and the pattern for the revival that you're going to have in your church. Remember that we used as an illustration the battle with Amalek as Moses was standing at the top of the mountain as they were going to progress into the promised land or into after the children of Israel had left Egypt, and they came against the Amalekites. And Moses sat on the top of the mountain with his rod in his hand. He had Aaron on one side, and he had Hur on the other side. And when he and Joshua was out, actually out there fighting against the enemy. So as Moses sat there, or stood there, his arms became very tired. And so Hur lifted one arm, and Aaron lifted the other. And remember that Hur represents the administrative part of your church. Hur was one of the elders. The pastors and churches so often have been very, very careful whom they selected to be their board members and the administrative part of their church. But on the other side was Aaron. And Aaron represents the intercession and the ones that will be in charge of the prayer and the spiritual birthing that will be in your church. That position needs to be as carefully selected, prayed about, and screened as people who would be a part of your administrative. So Aaron, as the intercessor, the one that stands between, representing the Aaronic priesthood, is the one that stands between God and between man, represents, as I said before, the prayer position in your church. And so these are the two factors that a wise pastor will have functioning simultaneously in his congregation. Of course, we know that the administrative has to be taken care of. You know, we can't be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good, but we can't be so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good either. So in order to have the balance, you're going to need both. We will notice that both of these positions in the church are supportive ministries. They are supportive ministries. You will notice the actions of her. And this is in Exodus 17, is what I'm quoting out of in the Old Testament. You will notice the actions of Hur and of Aaron. When Moses' arms got heavy, they did not attempt to remove the rod, which is representative of his authority. They did not remove the rod. They lifted his arms so that the rod could be held up higher. They became very tired. What did they do? They went and they got a rock and put it underneath him so that he could sit down. Of course, the rock, we know what the rock always represents, Christ. So they are safely and carefully, when the leadership is tired, placing the rock underneath. Now, Moses at no time lost his vision. See, he could still clearly see down into the valley where the battle was going on. He just changed his position. But he is still the one with the vision. So as intercessors, we must be very careful not to take any position that has not been delegated to us by Holy Spirit, or things will be out of whack. Same, just like if a board member tries to, or, you know, the administrative tries to override the pastor, then the church gets into trouble. Same thing with the intercession and the prayer people. If they try to override the pastor, then the church will get into discord, and it will not be a healthy place. So it is going to be of most, it's going to be very critical for you as pastors to be very selective in the one that you appoint as the head of your intercession department. You need to have a good working relationship with them. As I said, someone you can trust that you'll be able to share private information, things that you know will not go any farther than that person. And because that person then needs to learn to know how to pray. That will give them the fuel that they need. The intercessor needs to be free, if the Holy Spirit shows them something, to go to the pastor and to share. So this is a very spiritual relationship here, and it needs to be handled very carefully. Now, we're going to cover first the methods of prayer, and we need to be very, and I'm speaking now for the person who will be leading the intercession, be very clear in your group what your goals are so that no one will be offended. And I will use this as an illustration. For instance, if everyone understands when they come in that what your focus is going to be, and remember we've said focused prayer is powerful, and we do not want to have our energies dissimulated. If we are gathering together to pray for revival, that's what we need to do. We need to pray for revival. We're not going to be praying over this need and that person's need. You will become so burdened down praying for all the people's needs that your energies are just scattered, and then nothing ever gets done. So focused prayer is very important. So in the event, why I say also your person that's in leadership needs to be walking in love and needs to be walking in kindness, so that when correction has to be made, it's not going to be done harshly or where it will injure someone, but lovingly. Because if someone starts to get off track, and that's why if you're very clear in your group what your goals are, then we will not be offended. Then that will give the leadership of that group the permission to be able to lovingly keep things on track without getting your feelings hurt. Oh, they shut me down. Or, oh, they didn't think what I had to say was important. Or, oh, they wouldn't let me pray over this. See, that's got to be outside anyway. You don't want if you're walking in that, you don't want to be a part of the intercession group anyway, because God wants us to be in maturity and praying for the needs of the body, not our own particular needs. But there's a time for everything. Of course, we have a prayer where we pray over all of these situations. I will say in our own group, on Thursdays, we have 3 hours of intercession at least, and it's been going longer than that now, where we take all of the prayer requests that have been sent in or called in or given to us that during the week, and we take each one on an individual basis and pray over every prayer request. At night, our focus is on what's going on out in the main auditorium, praying for revival. I thumb through the prayer requests. If there's some dire emergency where someone is, you know, at death's door, at the very end, after we have concluded the prayer for the service, then we will sometimes, if it's an emergency, we will pray over those individual requests. But for the most part, when we meet together at night, it is to pray for the service. And I have written down here pretty much what we have as a handout, and this is what we hand out to everyone when they come in the door, if they have not been a part of our intercession group before. The intercessory prayer room guidelines. And the first thing we do is we cleanse our heart and our mind. Psalm 24, verse 3 through 5. Psalm 24, verse 3 through 5. We have what we call quiet time. Now, all I'm giving is just an outline of what we do. This is not a formula. This is maybe not going to work at all with your group. But this is how we're doing it here at Brownsville at present. Psalm 24, verse 3 through 5. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Okay, so what we do, let me go ahead and read. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and the righteousness from the God of his salvation. So we see it's very important when we come in to carry the prayer and to carry the meeting, which is the way I feel we're carrying the meeting through our intercession, that our hands be clean, our hearts be clean. Very important. So we have just a little, and I brought all of my little doodads here. I've got this. This is called the black box. So what we ask is when people come in and we have our quiet time to sit, reflect, let Holy Spirit show you anything that would be a hindrance to the meeting. We do not want to bring in our garbage from the day. We need to leave that outside. So we like to give everybody, and we know life is very stressful. So we like to give everybody an opportunity to do that before we begin to minister to the Lord. So our little black box, which is a little plastic box with a slit in the top, and we've got a little stack of paper here. And what we do is as everyone sits there and reflects, and if Holy Spirit shows you something that is contrary to the Holy Spirit, then you write it down on a little piece of paper, and then we tear it up, and we put it in the box. I know it's a very simplistic way of doing it, but it's symbolic. And it is freeing. And I thought maybe it was silly at first, you know, when the Holy Spirit started dealing with me about that, and I thought, are they going to go for this? But even last night, I had two or three people say how powerful it has been for them to know that there's some way that they can get rid of the trash and leave it and then get into the Lord. So if that's helpful for you, by all means, use that. Anyway, cleansing your heart and your mind. Then we begin to minister to the Lord. We put on praise tapes, and we begin to worship. And we begin to worship. And we begin to praise Him. We begin to sing, or we begin to dance, or we begin to move our bodies. However Holy Spirit wants to move through us, we are open to that. And then we just let it go however He leads. And believe me, trust Holy Spirit. He will lead you in the way that you are to go. Let's look at Psalms 100. Psalms are full of all kinds of good ideas. David was a man after God's own heart. See, I look at the difference between him and Saul. Both of them were sinners. But David knew how to repent, and he knew how to worship. And that brought him into a good relationship with the Lord. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. So we enter in through prayer and praise in Psalms 102, verse 16 and 17. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And the Lord is building up Zion every night. Zion being metaphor for the church. He is building it up every night, and then he will appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. And so all of the Psalms is constantly talking about how we need to be worshiping and praising the Lord. So most of the time in our intercession room, we spend praising and worshiping the Lord. Sometimes it's with soft, gentle worship type music. Just however Holy Spirit is leading is the way you want to go. And then sometimes we'll be led to play the more joyful, rejoicing type of music. And then we really dance and we get in the circles and we do the I don't know. I'm going to have to learn that, the horror or whatever. You know, we'll take a hold of hands and we'll run around in circles and yes. Oh, you did a new. I might have known. I missed it. What happened last night?
We ended up getting in a circle, holding hands, and we were going around, and then we stopped, and then all of a sudden we just started going to the center and lifting our hands up like this, and then going back out, and then with the music and just praising the Lord and lifting up to the Lord.
Now, what do you suppose that one means? It's got some kind of a symbolic I'm going to find out some things in Israel. Yes.
Went to a Jewish dance thing they're doing at another church, and they were doing that. Yeah, they were holding hands and going up to the center, just like he's talking about.
Hallelujah. Well, we don't know what we're doing. We just do it. Yeah, going to the center spoke. Yeah, that wheel in the middle of the wheel, huh? Okay, now we stay in agreement, and this is very important. And when we first started meeting, this was the biggest obstacle that I would feel in myself, the frustration of it, trying to get into unity. People, their minds would be off on this, and they're praying about this and that, and it would just be very, very difficult for me. But we're learning. We're all learning. Now we're learning how to come into unity. Psalm 133. This is one of my favorite scriptures, and of course the song we sang earlier. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and then went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon is, the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So our unity will not only bring forth the intercession, because it's talking about Aaron there as representative of the priesthood of the believer, but also the oil or the anointing will come because of our unity. So it's very vitally important. In John 17, the great high priestly prayer, I call this the Lord's Prayer. Everybody, you know, has their own idea, but to me, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. He was teaching them how to pray earlier, but this is powerful. John 17, verse 17 through 24. This is Jesus praying over the apostles and all of us that are yet to come. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, and that includes us, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they might be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. What a wonderful proclamation of unity there, and of what it will accomplish. We talk about wanting to move into the glory. Well, the glory is going to come from the unity. That's right. Praise God. Yeah, she was saying that in Ruth Heflin's book, she speaks about the way we come into unity as we focus upon the Lord and we get into right relationship with Him, then the unity is, He automatically comes in unity and draws us together as one. All right, we need to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. And this is something that we're looking for every night, is what is the mind of the Spirit? And during our times of worship, as we minister to Him, and that's a whole teaching all in itself, there the prophetic is opened. There's many times visions or God will speak, you know, concerning different situations. He will give scripture. We always like to have scripture also at night. Many times we sing the word or sing the word over the group. That's very powerful. We ask our leaders to have a word to share with the group as we come together. Now, nothing is a firm absolute. You know, there are no fast rules and laws. There's no absolutes, as I said. Each evening and each situation every time we come together, we want to be very fluid. And there's kind of outlines that we go by. But for the most part, we want to be open for Holy Spirit to move however He wants to. In John 17, just where we were, let's back up to verse 13. through 24, or through 15, excuse me. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So I don't know if that was the right scripture there, but that was a great scripture. We need to be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's the one. That should have been, well, anyway, we know that we're supposed to be open to the Holy Spirit. All right. Another point is focused prayer, one target at a time. We've already covered that pretty extensively. Another thing for the one that's in leadership, keep the flow of the Spirit. You know, if things begin to lag, then you need to keep it flowing. When in doubt, worship and praise. That's always, always the answer. Yes, Doug.
Even though you don't feel like it, you might come into the prayer room without wanting to praise and worship the Lord, but once you force yourself into that, then the Holy Spirit will take over and bring you into it.
And that's so true. And we know that all sacrifice, like, you know, we talk about a sacrifice of praise, and we kind of think about having put we will make ourselves. And so sometimes we do have to say, flesh, you get down under control of Holy Spirit, and we'll go. And then what he's talking about in the Old Testament, using that parallel, the sacrifices always had to be perfect. They couldn't be flawed. They couldn't have spots on them. The animals had to be completely the best. And so what happens as we deal with our flesh and shove our flesh down, then what comes forth out of our spirit will be an acceptable sacrifice. It will be an unflawed, unblemished sacrifice before the Lord. Keep the flow. Also, there were always scribes in... in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So Patsy's kind of our scribe, especially on Thursdays and any other time she's there, to take notes. Because as Holy Spirit shows things, I'm bad about keeping notes. I don't keep diaries or anything, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, I could kick me, because it'd be a book someday, you know. And I've looked back in studying revival and all, and I've noticed how sketchily things are. You know, I think, why didn't they go into detail? Why didn't they say exactly what was going on? Why didn't they? And here I am, just as bad as the rest of them, not keeping any notes at all. But Patsy takes notes. And then when things are fulfilled, or as we begin to get more puzzle pieces, it begins to make more sense to us in how to pray. All right, requirements of the intercessor. First of all, I had said the leader must have maturity, be walking in unconditional love, with good people skills. All right, as the requirements of an intercessor, not just the leader, but all, they need to be living in love. John 15, verse 16 and 17. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knows not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Okay. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. So in order to bear fruit, we need to be walking in love. Very important. John 5, verse 16 and 17, that was. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. We need to be living in forgiveness. All of these things we need to be walking in or living in love. We need to be living in forgiveness. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We need to be living in humility. James 4, verse 6 and 7. But he giveth more grace, Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. And here's what happened. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Okay, so we need to see that humility is very, very important. And I wanted to look at some scriptures here in Psalm 10. Give us even more clarity on how important humility, to be living and walking in humility. It will an important requirement for the intercessor. Psalm 10, verse 17 and 18. Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause thine ear to hear, to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may no more oppress. So we see that the humble get the ear of the Lord, and he then judges and takes care of the situation and to judge the fatherless and the oppressed, and the man of the earth may no more oppress. In other words, when we humble ourselves, we get God's attention, then he will fight our battles for us. Praise the Lord. I love it. Psalm 138. That's right. That's right. We're working under a great handicap, aren't we, if we're not walking in humility. Psalm 138 and verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet has he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knows far off. If you want to have God distant from you, get proud. Mm-hmm. We don't want that. We want him close to us. Psalm 2. Verse 3 through 5. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And I don't know. I must have written down the wrong scripture there. But that's a good one anyway, isn't it? Humility will release the mind of Christ. Oh, I know, I'm in the wrong book. Yes, I'm over there. I think that's supposed to be maybe Colossians. Well, anyway, I think that's where we are. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, wherever it is talking about the mind of Christ, is that Colossians, Philippians? Mm-hmm. Yes, it's Philippians 2, wasn't Psalms. My S, as I wrote it down, should have been an H, P-S I wrote instead of P-H. Okay. Verse 3 through 5, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay, so if we're looking for the mind of Christ, then we need to be walking and living in humility. We also need to be living in submission. Submission is very important. We've said before, submission is not restriction. Submission is freedom. It's going to be really important for us as intercessors to be walking in submission to the leadership. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We need to be living in victory. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, we need then to learn as an intercession group, or if I'm addressing people who are potential intercession leaders. First of all, we need to know what is the pastor's vision. We are to line ourselves up with the pastor's vision. He is God's delegated authority over our congregation, and so we need to follow his vision. Now, there may be times, and we've said that intercession causes us to go out there ahead, and a lot of people that move in intercession have vision way out there, okay? And sometimes we may see things that the pastor hasn't seen yet, but that's not a point of pride or anything like that, and it's certainly not a point of criticism on our pastors. What we do then is begin to pray that Holy Spirit will show us, you know, our pastors how to lead and what his will is and what the vision is. What has happened so many times and caused a great deal of a reproach to come on intercessors is, you know, they feel like they know more than the leadership. And then they begin to go out there and say, well, God showed me, pastor's supposed to be doing so-and-so. God showed me that, you know, the church is supposed to be doing this and that and the other. Does nothing but causes confusion. It sows dissension, and it sows doubt in the hearts of the people toward the delegated leadership. This is walking in rebellion, not in submission, and it will cause confusion and no end of chaos. Yes, John.
I feel like when the pastor can't trust the intercessors, then it does away with the effectiveness of the intercessor altogether, and we become null and void. We can't accomplish what he hopes we will.
That's right. And that's why we have to guard our position very carefully at all times. We support his vision, as we showed with the illustration with Aaron and her earlier. Supportive ministry. We are not the head, folks. As intercessors, we are strictly supportive ministry. What we do then is, after we find out what the pastor's vision is, and he shared his heart with us and showed us how he feels that God is leading the church and what needs to be the direction so that we can focus, okay, then we begin to get scripture and start writing down scripture to support his vision. And let Holy Spirit bring us into our minds the things that he wants to build this thing. We begin to build, see? As we've talked before, intercessors are also builders. He gives us building blocks to begin to build through prayer. Hallelujah. The vision that, it's wonderful. We're all working together. I mean, if nobody cares who gets the credit, there's no end of what God can do in the body of Christ. But everybody's had their own agenda saying, I want the accolades and look at me and what I'm doing. If we don't care, the bottom line is Jesus is glorified and the work gets done. He's going to move mightily. All right, then we begin to get revelation. We want to find out what the pastor has had personally, that God has spoken to him concerning his church and his position, or if he has received personal prophecy, or if there is prophecy over the church, or word of knowledge, or something like that. We get that if it's been recorded, that's fine. You know, print it up, or write down what you know, and then you begin to pray that, and you begin to seed that into the realm of the Spirit, and you begin to hold it and begin to water it in prayer until it becomes a reality. Remember, we said in the Old Testament it was first the natural, then the spiritual. Under the New Covenant, it's first the spiritual, and then it will be brought into the natural or demonstrated. We begin to seed then, as I wrote down, to water or to birth. There are two general problems, and we've kind of glossed over them or mentioned them in the course a little bit earlier. And the two general problems are submission and what we term spiritual gossip. Okay. And so let's take those. Submission being what I just described earlier, where we feel like we know more than the church does. And then there's a tendency to get this super spiritual attitude where you're unreachable. If we will continue to be transparent in our own life and let, you know, and let people in and see what we're all about with all of our flaws and everything like that, it'll keep things in perspective. It'll just keep the air knocked out of you all the time. I have this on a daily basis. He'll plant your face right on them in the lectern, and you can't get your head up off the floor. I love it. When I watch Pastor Kilpatrick, I'm always saying to him, no dignity left. He says, nah, that went a long time ago. You watch him, and the church will be full. And he's so elegant looking. You know, he's so dignified, and he'll be up there, you know, and all these pastors, visiting pastors that are coming here, kind of skeptical anyway, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, he's out. He's under the blank, and you know, you see them leading him off, putting his head down under. And I think it's great. It's wonderful. But that's where we have to be, folks. We got to be real with each other. Okay. So submission. We've covered that earlier. Spiritual gossip, or what? How many of you have ever been on the prayer chain? Have you ever had a prayer chain in your church? It's been just about everything but, right? They call it, pray for sister so-and-so. Oh, she's having an affair with, and then they're off and running, you know. Oh, pray for their family, won't break up. And by the time they finish giving the, quote, prayer request, it has been nothing but gossip. And then, you know, even at that point, you couldn't pray if you wanted to. The anointing's long gone. The dove has flown. So what we're very careful in our intercession meetings, when we get together as the leader, you immediately nip it in the bud. If you see it come up, someone will have a prayer request, and then they'll want to give all these gory details. That's where we go back to be very clear in your group what your goals are, so no one will be offended. At that point, the leader will have to step in and will have to stop what's going on and lovingly, you know, tell the person that this is not the time nor the place, here or ever, no, to be sharing something like that. Remember, as intercessors, we try to share out very little. Mm-hmm. We share out with the Lord and not with people. Because when we share out with people, then it starts getting into gossip, and the next thing you know, you got a mess going. The Lord will show you as intercessors the best and the worst of people. That's why we need to be walking in unconditional love. We need to have love to cover the flaws. I mean, if we were all perfect, you know, then we could sit in judgment, you know, be one of the 24 elders that's described there in Revelation, but we're not. And so anyway, we have to be very careful that we cover everything in love. Most of the time, you will not be sharing out. Occasionally, he will have you, you know, speak to a person, maybe over something that he has shown. Very, very seldom. It's usually just spoken to the Lord, and then watch God take care of it. All right. In trying to wrap this up here, we have some practical advice for the intercessors. First of all, protect your own spirit. And we try always to remember to cover each member of the body as we have after the intercession group, each person that is attended, to ask the blood of Christ to be over over them, over their family, and we'll be doing that today, and over their possessions, and do that over yourself all the time. Whenever we have been out there praying and doing spiritual warfare, we need to protect our own spirit. And our own bodies, our own minds, it's very important. The blood of Christ is the barrier that will be our protection. Okay. We need to feed on God's word. That's going to give us fuel. If we are in his word, it's going to keep us from getting flaky and out there in limbo land and in weirdness. If we are feeding on his word, it will keep us into balance. We need to live a life of worship, praise, and thanksgiving, not just when we're in the meeting, not just when we're with our friends, but this should be our homes should be houses of prayer. Our car should be a house of prayer, praise, and worship. Our lives should be lived in that vein at all times, and not just be, you know, now I'm in church, I act one way, now I'm outside of church, I act in. This is a whole life, folks, and it's a wonderful way to go. And then, as we had said earlier, and this will be the last point, beware of how you share your words out. We have brought so much reproach upon ourselves over sharing things that would take a spiritual understanding to be able to comprehend. Okay, like for instance, if we are to share a dream or some kind of something that the Lord has shown us in the Word, and if the other person is not in that place where you are in the Lord, you begin to share with them and they begin to back off saying, this person is really weird. So we have to be very careful how we share out. Of course, we can have prayer partners and people that we're on the same level with in the realm of the Spirit, and it's wonderfully edifying. But when you're just sharing out there, and you have Christians who are quite carnal, and they just begin to back off from you, and it's caused a lot of reproach on intercession. Yes, ma'am. Well, yeah, I think that might be a good one. I don't know if we're going to include that on the tape or not, but but it's true. We have to be very careful because it will bring reproach upon us, and it will cause people to walk around the block to keep from running into you, and that's protecting ourselves too, you know. Okay, I think I've pretty well described how our meetings are conducted at the end. I want to say this, that pastors, if you have people that are coming from other churches, we have forms that we require each of the members of our intercession team to fill out applications, and then they're reviewed. And that if you're from another church, we also require a form that your pastor will fill out and will accompany the form. And then it goes through, first of all, the intercession, and then it goes to the pastor, and ultimately to be approved. And so that's kind of the practical side of it. I hope that this has been helpful to you. I know this probably hasn't been real spiritually edifying, but we do have to cover the practical side also. If you'll stand with me. Praise you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone that has attended here today. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, that you always show up, always. Lord God, I thank you that you are lovingly in charge of your body. Lord, I thank you for the great and mighty promises that we all have, not only for revival, but for a renewing and a refreshing, oh Father God, of your people. God, this is the time. Lord, we know, we sense in our spirit the urgency, Father, that the day and the hour is late. Lord God, that the harvest is mighty. I mean, the fields are white under harvest. And Lord, I'm just asking you that out of this group that's here today, Father God, that they will go forth reaping a mighty harvest. Lord, those that are listening to this tape, Father God, I just ask that a mighty harvest will be reaped by each and every one. Lord, we submit to you. We say, Lord, send us into the harvest. Send us out, Lord. Put the sickle in our hand that we can reap for you. Lord, it's our great delight to be in your family and to be a part of your plan. And Lord, I ask this day, as we prepare to depart, Father God, that your blood would be over everyone that has attended here today. Father God, the blood, your precious blood, is a protection over each life. Lord, I ask that your blood would be over their families, Father God, that the enemy could not come nigh any member of their family. Lord Jesus, the bloodline to be drawn. Father, I ask that your blood would be over all of our possessions, Father, our homes, our jobs, our animals, our livestock, our cars. Lord, everything that you've put into our hand as good stewards, Father, I ask that your blood would be applied to that. And Father, I ask for your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of promise, to seal us and to flow over us, Lord God, as that anointing, that we could just walk in that anointing. And Lord God, we thank you for the privilege of being able to minister to you and then to minister to others. And I thank you and thank you, thank you, dear Jesus. Oh, sir, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.